Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace. So he's in the palace area, but he's not. He's without. He's somewhere other than in a place perhaps where Jesus is. And a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before, look at that, them all. You see, a woman was the one that said, Thou also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, so now he's moved from where he was to the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, notice there's a group, unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. So he's swearing now. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, so now another group, and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. It means gives you away. Then began he to curse and to swear. Now not only is he making the oath, but now he's cursing. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. All right, now turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 66. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace. All right, so when Matthew said he was without it in the palace, he's beneath, so it's like a two-story thing, at least, and he's downstairs. Beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. If you didn't know what bewrayeth thee meant from Matthew, all you have to do is go to Mark and read the companion passage. The Bible is self-interpreting. It lets you know what the deal is. In other words, it corroborates. We know you're a Galilean and your speech sounds like somebody from Galilee. Agreeth thereto. Verse 71, But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Okay, now go to Luke chapter 22 at verse 55. Luke chapter 22 and verse 55. All right, Luke 22, verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, so this without in the palace, beneath in the palace, is in a hall. And the reason that Peter was warming himself is that they had a fire there. Kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together. Peter sat down among them. And a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. Now, in the first two, he's talking to a woman. Now, all of a sudden, he's addressing this woman as man? Maybe not. You'll also know there was a group around there. But anyway, he says, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Notice this little tidbit. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. All right, one more time. Let's go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And look at verse 16. Three verses here, and then we'll skip down and read three more. John chapter 18, verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without, and then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there. Remember, in one of the Gospels, he was sitting there. Servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Then said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now, these passages, when you put them together, they look like there may be some contradictions. In one place he's sitting down, another place he's standing up. In one place he's beneath, and another place he's in the hall. And in one place he's warming himself by a fire that was kindled seated. In another place he's standing up, warmed by a fire, and he's standing. Sometimes he's addressing somebody in the crowd, and he's talking to a man. Sometimes he's being approached by a woman. And you may, you know, if you actually sit down and parallel the passages like I did on this sheet of paper and run them side by side, it looks like at first you're looking at some confusion or so many different eyewitness accounts that they kind of get the details confused. But when you actually break it down, look at everything that's going on, you find that in this study of the denial of Peter, you're actually in groups of people every time. And when they get the perspective, they're getting the perspective from different angles. And when you put it all together, rather than having contradictory accounts, you have complementary accounts, and you actually learn more by studying each gospel than you would if you had just read one by itself. So let's go through, and then without having to flip all over the place, we'll just talk through what you've read here and help you kind of get the thing down where it'll make perfect sense to you. And then when you do this, you'll see something you didn't see reading it the first time. Something I didn't see reading it the second time, the third time, the fifth time, the tenth time. Afterwards, you see a pattern in every one of these episodes where actually it is recorded that Peter has denied him three times in each of the three episodes. There is a series of questions and answers and conversations that are going on each time he denies him, and those are three separate episodes of denying him, but he's actually denying him three times in each episode. And you'll see it as we go back through it. Now, one of the ways, five of the ways they knew that Peter was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ is, in the first case, John went back outside to get him and brought him back in, and when he passed that damsel at the door, she said, you're one of them. Because look who he's associated with. He comes in with John, and John is known to the high priest. So that's one way they knew that Peter was with him. The second way, those guys had been hanging around Jerusalem for about a week. Remember the cursed fig tree and the triumphal entry and the clearing out of the temple and the Passover where they went into the upper room? Those guys had been in and out of town the whole time. And so there are people here at Jesus' trial that have seen him in company with the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, and Brother Joe giggled at it, it is kind of silly, funny, the kinsman of the guy that Peter cut, you know, whose ear Peter cut off, he said, I saw you. I was in the garden. I mean, now you're not going to, if you're related to Malchus, the guy that got his ear cut off, and you see some guy with a sword, you know, whack like that, and off comes the ear, you're not likely to forget who that was that it did. He said, I saw you there, man, when you cut off my kinsman's ear. He was a Galilean. Now, you know, you say, well, what's that? Well, in Israel, you have three regions. Judah, which is in the south. And then Samaria, which is in the middle part of the country. And then Galilee, which is in the north. How would somebody know if he were a Galilean? His speech. He'd talk like a Yankee. Who dat? You know, and ah, shut up. And all that other kind of stuff. I mean, you know, we talk like this. Or we talk like this. And not up there.
I talk like this.
He was a Galilean. And his speech. They knew he wasn't a local boy. So there's five ways they got him. And everywhere he tries to deny it, it's just really obvious that he's lying. All right. Each time that Peter denies Jesus Christ, he is in front of a group of people. He's not just being approached by one person. When you read Matthew, a damsel comes up and accuses him, and you get the idea that it's just a one-on-one confrontation, but it's not. He's always in front of a group of people. And as I said, you get different perspectives from each gospel writer, and you have to put them together to see what's going on. In the first denial, here's what happens. John invites Peter into the hall. In the palace, it's not in the area apparently where Jesus is, and it's beneath, which would indicate like on the first floor. He invites him in. And when he goes through the door, John knew the high priest and would know to talk to the lady there at the door. She sees him come in. And it's a pretty good look at him. And then he goes over to where that fire is that they've kindled and sits down with that group of people. And the damsel at the door walks up to him and then asks him, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? She questions him, aren't you one of... And notice, in every case of the four Gospels, the word also is in the question or the comment. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Why would she say that? John, he's one of them. Aren't you one of them? And he saith, I am not. Luke tells us that a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. So it's like she goes by there and say, aren't you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. And then let me get a better look at you. Get in there and start looking at that face. And then she turns to the crowd and said, this man was with him. Now I recognize him. And he says, woman, I know him not. That's where the statement to the woman comes in. Woman, I know him not. And then, after she tells the group this man was there, she says to the group, or to Jesus Christ, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. So, first time she comes in and said, aren't you one of his disciples? And no, I'm not. Says, you know what? This man was there. I recognize him. And said, you know what? You were there. Third time. Thou wast with him. And he said, I know not what thou sayest. I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. So you get the picture. She says, are you one of them? No. Gets a better look, turns to the crowd, said, yes, he is. looks back and says, you are one of them. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. So you see, there's three times that he talks in the first denial while he's sitting around that fire, while he is in the place that is beneath, called the hall. You know what he does? With all that going on, what does he do? He moves. He gets out of there. And where does he go? Matthew says, he went out onto the porch. When he was gone out into the porch, verse 71 of Matthew 26, another maid saw him. He can't get away from it. Another maid saw him. And then here's what goes on. While he's out there on the porch, as he walks out there, Mark tells us something happened. Well, really, literally, the cock could have crowed right then because he'd already denied him three times in the first episode. But that cock crowing is a warning. Don't forget what you heard, Peter. Jesus had already told you, after you deny me three times, the cock is going to crow. And he hears that. He should have known he'd messed up. But he didn't take any warning. Now there, when he gets outside, John tells us there are servants and officers of the palace that are standing there warming themselves. So in the first place, he was sitting down warming himself. This time he's out on the porch and he's standing up. There's another fire out there and warming himself while he's out there. And Peter stood with those guys. And this maid spotted him. And this maid told the group, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. That's Mark. That's Matthew 26:71. This guy was with him. I've seen him. I know him. And he denies with an oath. He swears, I do not know the man. So that group that's standing there asked him, after she did that, art not thou also one of his disciples? That's what John tells us. Art thou not also one of his disciples? And he denied it, said, I'm not. I am not. And then right after that, a man said to him, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. So you got another three episodes in the second denial that come up. The first one is the maid spots him, tells the group this man was with them. The group, when he denies it, says, aren't thou one of his disciples? He said, no, I'm not. And a man said, thou art also of them. Notice, this parallels exactly the same. There's a question asked directly of him, which he denies. There's a statement made to the crowd, which he denies. And then there is not a question asked of him, but a statement made to him directly, and he denies that. Same as in the first case. And a man, because there were servants and officers out there, is the one that says it, even though the maid is the one that spotted him. Are we together on this? I'm trying to save you the hassle of having to put four fingers in your Bible and turn to each one as we go through it. But I'm trying to also point this out to you so that when you see it again yourself, you'll understand what's going on. Okay. Then, in the third denial, Luke tells us it's about an hour later. About an hour later has passed. A man said to the group, Luke says this, about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed. They got him. Very confident. Confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And, of course, Peter says, man, I know not what thou sayest. Then Malchus's kinsman, after he hears the denial, goes up, takes a look at him, he says to him, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Didn't I see you there? And Peter says, no. Get the blood off my hand here. No, no, you're mistaken. You couldn't have seen me. Then the group says, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." Then he began to curse and to swear, "I know not the man. I know not this man of whom you speak." And immediately the cock crew. The third incident of his denial is just like the first two. There is a statement made to the group of a truth. This man is one of them, for he is a Galilean. Then there is a question asked directly to him. "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" And then there is a statement made directly to him. "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." The same pattern every time. And as soon as he denies it the third time, then the cock crows. And after the cock crows, look at what verse 75 says in Matthew chapter 26. "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." If he'd have thought about it when he got out there on the porch and heard the cock crow, that would have been a better time to remember it than after this. "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. All right, now there's one other thing that happened that we saw in Luke when this, right at the time that the cock crows, and it's in Luke chapter 22. We want to look at that one again. Verse 61. "Wherever Peter is, by the time he makes the third denial, he is now in a place where he has eye contact with Jesus Christ." He can see him. Verse 61, Luke 22, verse 61. "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." Let me ask you something. When you were kids, and you were doing something wrong, and you looked up from what you were doing, and there was your dad, can you remember the feeling? Peter did all of this, and then on the third denial, and the cock crows, he looks, and the Lord, you got to remember what Jesus Christ is going through at this point. Remember? We studied it last week. They're spitting on him and buffeting him. As a matter of fact, they blindfolded him. So evidently, this is either right before the blindfolding or right after that. They take the blindfolds off, and now he's been beaten on a little bit and that kind of stuff, and he's there, and he's getting ready to be hauled off to Pilate, and the Lord turns and looks, and there he is. And boy, when Peter saw that look, that man that he had traveled with for 3.5 years, that man that he'd sat down and had the Lord's Supper with, that man, Peter, had asked John to ask him who it was, and he'd revealed to him that it was Judas Iscariot that was going to betray him, and all those times they'd spent together. And what did he keep telling this crowd? "I don't know him. I don't know him." And he looked over there and saw a man who was more dear to him than his own father was, and saw that deal after denying him 3 times, and I'm telling you, you talk about the wind out of his sails. That killed him. And that's why Peter not only went out and wept, but the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly because of turning his back on the Lord Jesus Christ like that. So when you read those yourselves in your own study, as you go back through the Gospels and stuff, remember, every time there's a denial, the first time takes place in the hall, beneath, out of the palace. He's asked a question about his association with Jesus Christ, which he denies. A statement is made to the crowd, which he denies. And then a statement is made directly to him, which he denies. Then he goes to the porch, same pattern. And then about an hour later, wherever he is, he can now see Jesus Christ, and the same thing happens again. And then he goes out and weeps bitterly. Now there's some things to ask ourselves here real quick, since we see how it lays out. Why did Peter deny him? Why did Peter deny him? Somebody said Peter denied him because he was scared. Well, Peter had told the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'll go with you to Jerusalem and I'll die with you if I have to. And Peter, knowing Peter, was Peter bold? Oh yeah, he was quick on the draw with everything. I don't think that it was because he was scared.
The other thing is John wasn't scared.
John wasn't scared either. He was hanging around there. Something, yeah, Blake?
Peter, I believe, wanted to see the Lord bringing his kingdom. He expected that.
That's one of the big problems is Peter knew the power of Jesus Christ. He knew exactly how tough Jesus Christ was and how much power he had to do anything he wanted. He raised a dead man. He made a blind man that was born blind see. He knew that he had the power of God on him, and yet he wouldn't do what was necessary to bring in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, in the first time that Peter ever heard after Matthew 16, when Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Remember that? Then right after that, Jesus said, I'm going to end up dying at the hands of the Gentiles. And Peter said, no way. And he rebuked the Lord. And that's when the Lord turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He knew then that Jesus Christ could have stopped it. And he didn't stop it. And that really troubled him because he could have brought the kingdom in. Bronze? No question that when he denies him, you know, because he said, Satan that desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, the devil gets involved in this thing. But there's something else. There's something else. What was it? Pride. Jesus told those disciples before they went into that situation and went into the garden, he said, remember how I told you guys, don't take any extra money, don't take any extra sandals, don't take any extra clothes. Workman's worthy of his hire, you'll get what you need along the way. They said, no. He said, now I'll tell you what, you better take some extra clothes and you better take some extra money. And by the way, any of you guys got a sword around here? If not, you better sell a garment and buy a sword. And they added up and counted between them, Luke showed us, and said, yeah, we got two swords here. And Jesus said, well, that's enough. Now you've told the guys to arm themselves. Now you take Peter, James, and John into the Garden of Gethsemane with you to pray to the Father. This guy is sitting here with a sword. And an army comes in there to take him. What are you going to do? You're going to use the sword. And when he did, the Lord rebuked him and told him, a man that uses a sword will die by the sword. And you know what Peter wanted to do is, you know what he wanted to do, is to throw that sword down. And why in the blankety blank did you want me to bring this sword in here if I can't use the stupid thing? I could have stopped this. I'm Peter. And the angels could have stopped this. You want to die so bad? Help yourself. Do you know that man? I don't know that man. Not that one. The one I know is the King of the Jews. That guy's acting like a dummy. And he denied him. It was pride. So the fact that Jesus Christ could have brought that kingdom in, the fact that he got into a battle with the devil is a little bit bigger than the battle he understood. And the fact that he had done something good for God and got rebuked for it, he said, you want to die that bad? Help yourself, pal. I don't want any part of this. All right, second thing. Did he lose his discipleship here?
No.
He probably did. Because he walked off. And the next episode you see with Peter later on, he tells those guys, he said, I go a-fishing. You know what the Lord had told them way back there when they started the ministry? What did he tell him? I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets, and John and James left their father and the ships, and they followed Jesus Christ and didn't go back to that occupation. But when this all happened, he says, I go a-fishing. I'm done with this. And the Lord sees them out there in John chapter 21, out there fishing one day and makes up little stuff, and he's out there and John recognizes Jesus Christ on the shore. And Peter, it says, was naked. You know, he wasn't wearing his fisher's coat. He dives into the water and makes a beeline for Jesus. And then they start talking, and that's when Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Yeah." "Feed my sheep." "Say, Peter, yes, sir, do you love me?" "Feed my lambs." "Peter, I want to ask you a question. Do you love me?" "Feed my lambs." Three denials. Three times he asked me, "Do you love me?" "Feed my sheep." And he puts him back in the ministry. And the next time you see Peter, he's in Acts chapter 2 standing up quoting verses of Scripture because he's got the Spirit of God on him that he never had before. Quoting the Scripture, and later 3,000 souls get saved. God put him back in it. Yes. Yes, he's already ascended. I mean, he hadn't ascended, but he's already resurrected. Three times he denied him, and three times he said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yeah, I love you." Okay.
Is there a difference in a disciple and an apostle?
Yes, there is a difference between a disciple and an apostle.
Because if he lost his discipleship, he did become an apostle.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, the Lord restored him to it. I mean, he changed his mind about that, and you don't find Peter worrying too much about fishing. He may have done a little recreational fishing, but he wasn't in it for an occupation. All right, any other questions or thoughts about that? Yes.
Why did Jesus tell him the great story?
Well, because what he was doing there, you know, there's two things that could have happened. One could have just been a setup. Just setting him up. Has the Lord ever set you up before? And the other is, it is a testimony to self-defense. People say, "Is it appropriate?" I had that question asked to me not long after I got saved. People said, "Is it appropriate for you to defend yourself?" And boy, I remember back there in the 70s, we had a long discussion about that. "Oh, no," he said, "I'm just going to pray and trust God that if anybody breaks into my house, God will take care of it." I remember all that. Some other guy said, "I'm not going to be so foolish. I'm going to pray and I'm going to put a 38 right under my bed." If the guy breaks in, then he broke what God wanted to do. I'll put the bullet right between his eyes. So it's self-defense.
Is it in Luke, as the cock crowed twice, is that significant?
That the cock crowed twice?
The first time he crowed, but then he denied him again, and he crowed again. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm just learning that is significant. I don't know about that. Because people would say, "See, it contradicts itself."
No, I think it is significant. I think what happened is, for instance, we'll give you the answer and then I'll give you the for instance. Let's do it that way. Mark is the one that records that.
Okay.
Mark is the one that records the second crowing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What the Lord told him was just what Mark said. "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." That's what the Lord told him. When the other gospel writers write it, they say, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Mark tells you what the Lord told him was, "It'll crow two times, and you'll deny me thrice."
Where did he
say it? Yeah, Mark chapter 14, verse 72. And the way that goes, for instance, there is an episode in the Gadarenes. There's a wild man. How many of y'all remember that wild man that couldn't be restrained with chains and he was running around in the tombs and all that? All right, when you read in one of the Gospels, it says there was a man, and then he's talking to that man and he says, "How many devils are, or what is your name?" And the devil says inside of him, "Legion," and then 2,000 swine run off. All right? When you read the companion passage, there's actually two men in there. But Mark only tells you about one of them. And so what's happened with Matthew and what's happened with Luke, when they tell you about the cock crowing, they just say, he said, "When the cock crows, you'll deny me. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Mark tells you, he actually said, "Before he crows twice." And so he gets the warning out on the porch, but it does, there's no clue there. And then the second time, he understands exactly what's going on. Again, they're complementary, not contradictory. Okay? Yes, ma'am. But see, Mark's the one in the Gadarenes that only tells you one man. I think it's Matthew that tells you there's two. There are a lot of scholars who will tell you what was going on with the gospel writers, and they tell you that Peter's the one that told Mark. But nowhere do you find in the Bible that there's a testimony of that Peter was the one telling Mark. They'll give those kind of commentaries. Mark may have known a lot of this stuff firsthand, and I'll tell you why. Because Mark tells you in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus Christ is arrested, that there was a young man in there that just had a sheet or something around him like that. And they grab him and he runs out naked. And everybody wonders, who is that guy? Well, it's liable to be Mark. It's liable to be him himself. He may have been traveling with those guys. You know, there were a lot of other disciples besides those. In Luke chapter 10, there's actually 70 more that are sent out two by two in addition to the 12. So Mark probably has a whole lot of his own account on this stuff. All right, somebody else? All righty. Well, hopefully that'll make it pretty clear. It's pretty interesting what goes on there. And frankly, when I went through that a few times, I'm looking at that and I'm going, how do you put all that together? But then you see the same pattern in every place, and then it falls right out for you. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless the work of this study here. We pray that it'll be very profitable to us. And also, Father, we pray that we'll always recognize that in our own lives, we've got to be very, very careful not to ever put ourselves in a situation where if somebody asks about our Christianity or about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we kind of sweep it under the carpet to keep from being embarrassed or ridiculed or any other of the problems that come. Father, we also pray, Lord, that during this time that we take a break here, that we'll enjoy some good fellowship. We also pray, Father, that you'll prepare our hearts well for the preaching of the Word of God. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.